Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Laughlin.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Three-step drop. Oh, he is buried. He is sacked. It is Mario Williams back at midfield.
You got to give me that leg whip. You got to give me that leg whip.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Throws it downfield, intercepted, picked off by Jarris Bird. The ball hawk with the interception for the Bills.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Tonight we'll be joined by Mark Gowan, the beat writer for the Buffalo News, who'll break down Andre Reed's chances of making the Hall of Fame this year. Speaking of Hall of Famers, Thurman Thomas will join us, and he'll take a look ahead at the Buffalo Bills offseason. And Chris Perkins from the South Florida Sun Sentinel will talk about the change in Miami.
This place is pandemonium!
CJ at the 10, 5, touchdown! CJ Spiller, touchdown Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Back on the radio. We haven't been here in a long time, and 9 days since we've done a real live radio show. We are back tonight. Live radio, 7 to 9 p.m. We're back on the air with radio on Friday night. A little bit of hockey scheduled for tomorrow. We'll see if they play tomorrow. I don't see why they wouldn't. Good evening. Welcome. Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO for this Wednesday night. Looking forward to talking to some Bills football with you tonight and some NFL football with the phone lines open, as always. Number to call with your comments and questions, 803-0550 locally. Outside the 716, you can reach us toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach us via Twitter at John Murphy Show. A lot to talk about tonight, believe it or not, even though it's very quiet here at One Bills Drive. I'm just happy to be at work. I mean, I haven't been at work in almost a week and a half. I guess we were here Monday for a little bit, and then went home early trying to beat the storm and did a podcast Monday, but off yesterday because of the storm. Last week off at the end of the week because it was the end of the week and it was New Year's. But happy to be here tonight and happy to have you tuned in tonight, ready to talk some Bills football. A lot to talk about. You heard the rundown. Mark Gowan's going to join us a little bit later on, the bottom of this hour. He is the fine beat writer, covers the Buffalo Bills for the Buffalo News. He also is the presenter and the elector for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and that group getting set to meet at the end of this month to vote on a new class, the class of 2014. Once again, Andre Reed is up as a trying to make the cut to the final 15. That will come tomorrow, 9 p.m. tomorrow. We're going to talk with Mark Gowan about Andre's chances about making the final 15, which you would think he would tomorrow. But beyond that, how does he finally get in the Hall of Fame? Mark Gowan will join us at 7:30 tonight. Also, we'll get a couple of Mark's thoughts on the Bills, where they've been this year, where they're headed. I thought Mark had a really strong article last Saturday about E.J. Manuel and the comparisons of Manuel to other rookie quarterbacks in recent years, not necessarily last year's rookies, but other rookie quarterbacks. We'll talk with Mark about that. 7:30 tonight, the beat writer for the Buffalo News, Mark Gowan, joins us live on the line. At 8, a Hall of Famer, Thurman Thomas, as he makes his regular weekly appearance, typically on Wednesday nights. Thurman Thomas will be joining us at 8 o'clock tonight to talk about his view of the Bills season just ended, his view of Andre Reed's Hall of Fame chances. And at 8:30, we want to check in on the Miami Dolphins' upheaval in Miami. Two consecutive losses to end the season here in Buffalo against the Bills, then against the Jets in the finale, and a big shakeup. The general manager, Jeff Ireland, let go just last night. We'll talk more about that. And we're going to talk with Chris Perkins, who covers the Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, at 8:30. What is the deal in Dolphin land? Why is it so dysfunctional in Dolphin land? Joe Philbin stays. A lot of intrigue about how he gets to stay and Jeff Ireland has to leave. We'll talk with Chris Perkins about that coming up at 8:30 tonight. And as usual, we want to hear from you. We'll give you some news tidbits of what's going on here at One Bills Drive. Not much lately, but just kind of setting the scene for the upcoming offseason. We'll give you that during the next couple of hours. We'll also talk about what's going on around the National Football League. Want to let you know, too, that we are just about a week and a half away from our second annual visit to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Talk about turning the page. Last year was my first year at the Senior Bowl. We're going to head down there a week from this Sunday, and we'll be broadcasting live there a couple of weeks away on, I believe it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday this week, Monday and Wednesday that week, working around the hockey schedule, just 2 weeks away, live from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. You turn the page. That's the best thing about the Senior Bowl. I learned it last year. You turn the page from last season to the next season. You look ahead. You get a chance to see all the draft prospects. You get to sit down and talk to many of those draft prospects. You talk to decision makers, Bills and elsewhere. You talk to scouts. You talk with Phil Savage, who's the executive director of the Senior Bowl. We're going to be live at the Senior Bowl starting Monday, January 20th, and then again on Wednesday, January 22nd, just 2 weeks away. Looking forward to those couple of shows. So we'll continue to talk more about that. And we're going to solicit your opinions on who we should look out for at the Senior Bowl coming up. But we want to also get your opinions tonight as we wrap up. We'll spend the next week and a half wrapping up the Bills' 2013 season. Chris Brown wrote a great story on BuffaloBills.com, posted it just the other day. The BuffaloBills.com 2013 Team Awards. Individual awards that Chris wrote up. First year under head coach Doug Marrone, Chris named a most valuable player, a most improved player on the roster, the offensive MVP, the defensive MVP, the special teams MVP, the unsung hero, the newcomer of the year, and the rookie of the year. Chris Brown, check it out at BuffaloBills.com, just up the other day. I want to talk to you tonight about that. That was Chris. Those were Chris's ideas. He has names under each of those categories, and we're going to talk about that one at a time over the next week and a half on the show. Tonight, we want to get your opinion on two categories. We're going to meld them into one. Who is the Bills' rookie of the year this year, and who's the Bills' newcomer of the year? They can be the same guy if you see it that way. But rookie of the year, you know the draft picks, you know the undrafted rookie free agents who are here. A lot of people are going to settle on Kiko Alonso. That's who Chris picked. Kiko Alonso, the Bills' rookie linebacker, who had a sensational season, 159 tackles, third most in an NFL season by a rookie, behind Patrick Willis of the Niners and Luke Kuechly of Carolina. Kiko Alonso, pretty obvious choice for rookie of the year, but you may have someone else in mind. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us on Twitter as well. Phone lines are open now. Your thoughts on the Bills' rookie of the year. Is it Kiko? Is it Nickell Robey, who came out of nowhere, undrafted, out of USC, came out of nowhere to become the Bills' nickel corner, had a pretty good year, not a whole lot of downs and many ups, including a couple of memorable interceptions, the big play at Miami in October. Nickell Robey, I think, should get some consideration for the Bills' 2013 Rookie of the Year. What about Robert Woods, who had to fight through some injuries but did make some big plays and maybe shows as much promise as anyone in that rookie class going forward? I think you could make an argument that Robert Woods would be the one with the most potential of that Bills rookie class. And finally, what about E.J. Manuel as the Bills rookie of the year? Again, only 10 starts for E.J., 4 wins, 6 losses, but flashes of potential, game-winning comeback against Carolina, solid game at Jacksonville, fought through his injuries, came back, continued to bounce back. I think the argument could be made that E.J. Manuel was at least a runner-up, if not the Bills rookie of the year. Give us your thoughts on that. You can check out Chris's opinions at BuffaloBills.com. Bills rookie of the year this year. The phone line's open for that. 803-0550, the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. I acknowledge Kiko is the obvious choice, but not the only choice. Maybe somebody you think merits honorable mention for the Bills Rookie of the Year. And I think an even more fascinating category in this is Newcomer of the Year. And we're going to lump that in with Rookie of the Year. So when you call up, we'd like to know your nomination for the Bills Rookie of the Year and the Newcomer of the Year. Chris Brown at BuffaloBills.com made Jerry Hughes the pass rush specialist as the Bills' newcomer of the year. You know, he came to the Bills in that trade right after draft day that sent Calvin Shepard to the Indianapolis Colts. An outstanding year, 10 sacks for Jerry Hughes this year, sort of a comeback year for him. I think he would merit consideration, strong consideration, as the newcomer of the year for the Bills. But there are others on the defensive side of the ball. What about Manny Lawson, sort of an unheralded free agent signing? Right, I think it was a week or so into free agency, maybe 2 weeks into free agency, when the Bills signed Manny Lawson, a guy who started throughout the season, make big plays throughout the season, set the edge, did exactly what they hoped he would do on the edge of that Buffalo defense. Manny Lawson, I would think, got more play. I haven't looked it up. I'm pretty certain he got more plays on the field than Jerry Hughes. Maybe he is the Bills' newcomer of the year. What about Alan Branch, who had to fill in a couple of games in once Alex Carrington went down? Alan Branch came up with big plays. He was a strong player defensively in the analytics department. That's what the folks at Pro Football Focus will tell you. With some very good games for Alan Branch down the stretch, maybe he is the Bills' newcomer of the year. What about the kicker, Dan Carpenter, You could argue that he was the Bills' newcomer of the year, not on the roster until the week before the season opener. Dan Carpenter with a great year, just signed days before the season opener, 33 of 36 on the field goals, 131 points, third highest scoring season in franchise history. Dan Carpenter might have the strongest claim on newcomer of the year. So we want to get your opinions. Who is the Bills' rookie of the year for 2013? A lot of people are going to say Kiko. You may want to say somebody else. You may want to tell us why you think Kiko is the man. And even, I think, I would anticipate a much more hotly contested race. Who is the Bills' newcomer of the year? Is it Jerry Hughes? Is it Manny Lawson? Is it Alan Branch? Is it Dan Carpenter? Is it someone I'm not thinking of? Is it, a non-rookie newcomer of the year? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Over the next week and a half, we're going to get to most of Chris Brown's categories that are up on BuffaloBills.com. Today, we're doing two, newcomer of the year, rookie of the year. Friday, we'll do most improved player. Next week, we'll deal with the defensive MVP, the offensive MVP, and the overall team most valuable player. But give us your thoughts. Who do you think qualifies for those two categories? Rookie of the year for the Bills this year? Newcomer of the year, who is it in your mind? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number to call. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. We'll start with a call from Rochester, Mike in Rochester. Hello, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
So the rookie of the year, I think, has to go to Kiko because, I mean, you know, he was unstoppable this year, and he's in the running for rookie of the year for the whole league. So got to go with him. The newcomer, though, I don't know about Thad Lewis because EJ gets hurt. I love the draft pick, love the EJ, but Thad Lewis, he played really well when EJ was down.
That's an interesting choice. Do you think he played really well? Can you honestly say, Mike, that he played really well?
Not to the point where it's a playoff team, but no. He played, I don't know about above EJ, but about equal to, if not, you know, a slight edge.
Yeah, I would say that there was not that much of a drop-off from E.J. Manuel to Thad Lewis, mostly owing to Manuel's the fact that he's a rookie and the fact that he was twice, you know, thrown into the breach coming back from injuries. I will say this for Thad Lewis. I think he is probably, based on his play this year, he probably has set himself up as the leading candidate for the backup quarterback job next year. So maybe he is. Maybe he is the newcomer of the year, a guy that was virtually on nobody's screen, right up until a few days before the season started again. I think he came in, 2 days before Dan Carpenter came in. Thad Lewis acquired in the trade with Detroit after the Bills had faced him in the preseason game against the Lions, and all of a sudden he's taking snaps and almost was the starter on opening day. So, yeah, you could argue that Thad Lewis might be the newcomer of the year. That's an interesting argument. That's one that got by me. Looking for your nominations for the newcomer of the year for the Buffalo Bills, whether it's Jerry Hughes, Thad Lewis, Manny Lawson, Alan Branch, Dan Carpenter, who you think it might be, and the Bills' rookie of the year. Kiko probably the obvious choice, but Nickell Robey, Robert Woods, maybe even Manuel are the guys who would be in consideration for that, I think. Season-ending year's 2013 awards for the Buffalo Bills. Chris Brown's got his choices up at BuffaloBills.com. You want to check those out. But give us your thoughts on that. The newcomer of the year tonight we're looking for and the rookie of the year. Phone lines open, 803-0550, the number toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. We'll take a minute to take a look at some of the news of the day, the Kumho Tire Daily Rundown. Dunn Tire and Kumho Tires, the official tire of the Bills, giving Dunn Tire customers an exclusive offer. You can get a $50 instant rebate plus a free Bills cap with the purchase of 4 Kumho brand tires. Go to DunnTire.com for details. Kumho Tires, let's go. One of the guys who would qualify anyway for some consideration as the newcomer of the year was making his second tour with the Buffalo Bills, tour of duty, Jim Leonard, who came on as a free agent signee. Jim Leonard had to start 6 games for the Buffalo Bills this past year. When the Bills cleaned out their lockers last week, Jim Leonard was asked a lot about his future. He is a free agent now after just agreeing to a 1-year team with the Bills, and about looking back. And Leonard agreed that he made the most of his time on the field this season.
I mean, I think I did everything I could this year. Went out and tried to make big plays and got some interceptions and just tried to bring leadership to a young secondary, and felt like I accomplished that. Obviously, we would like to have a little better results in the win-loss column, but I think this team is moving in the right direction. Coach Marone's doing and saying a lot of the right things, and you know, you get some young guys to take that next step, and you never know what can happen.
Familiarity was one of the assets that you kind of brought to this defense. Leadership is an important thing on this team and on the defensive side of the ball, where you mentioned there is still a good deal of youth. I mean, is this a situation that you would feel good about returning to, even if you didn't have, a week-in, week-out starting role, which was kind of the case this year?
Yeah, I mean, I would feel comfortable coming back in that situation. Like I said, I got a lot of confidence in Coach Marone and everything that's going on. And obviously with the defense, I think this is the best scheme in the NFL. And you add that with some of the talent that we have on that side of the ball, you can do some good things. And year two in this system, it's going to be a lot of improvements. I think you'll see more consistent play out of everyone just going through a season in the defense and kind of understanding kind of the ins and outs of everything now.
That's safety Jim Leonard talking to our man Chris Brown in the locker room last week about returning next year. Says he would be comfortable. He says he wants to play one more year, and that's it. And Jim Leonard will hit the free agent market unless the Bills lock him up before that. Arthur Motes, Bills linebacker, also scheduled to hit free agency this year. He talked to reporters in the locker room last week. He was asked about the 6-10 season, another disappointing season Arthur Motes had with the Buffalo Bills.
I mean, it's definitely frustrating, but at the same time, I feel like this team this year is a lot different than the past. And I feel like we definitely have a lot of momentum going forward, and we're looking forward to the future.
Future for you is a little undecided. In light of your contract situation, how are you looking at it based on the role that you had in this defense?
Well, I mean, I'm excited about it, and it's my first time going through this whole process, so I'm going to take it, listen to my older guys on the team and, just get an understanding of the whole process and go from there.
Your playing time kind of vacillated back and forth. There were times there were games you got a lot more time. Mm-hmm. There were other games where you didn't get as much time.
Yeah.
I mean, do you feel that you kind of have a good handle on what your role is in this defense under Coach Patton based on the feedback you've got?
Well, I mean, I feel like I definitely had a good role. And like I said, I mean, it definitely fluctuated a little bit. But ultimately, I feel like, just as a whole on defense, we have a lot of good core guys. And I feel like, from there, we're just going to continue to build on it.
I know you've done a lot in the Buffalo community. You've done a lot to make yourself part of the fabric of the community.
Yeah.
How much does that factor in to your future and maybe wanting to stay here long term?
Oh, man, I definitely feel like the fact is not a lot. I mean, this is the only team I've been on 4 years, consecutively. It's definitely a good feeling. And, I mean, I definitely feel like the people of the community definitely appreciate me. So, I mean, it's definitely a good feeling here.
So in an ideal world, money's right, situation's right, you're back here.
Yeah, an ideal world, yeah.
That's Arthur Motes, Bills linebacker. He said in an ideal world he'd like to be back. Also told Chris Brown he hasn't really thought that much yet about free agency, but he is scheduled to hit the free agent market on March 11th. We'll see how that plays out. Now, around the league, around the division, Jeff Ireland out. The announcement came last night as the Dolphins' general manager. The team has severed ties. The Dolphins described it as a mutual parting of the ways, but Ireland was in trouble after 5 consecutive non-winning seasons for the Dolphins, they finished 8-8 this year, including those embarrassing back-to-back losses here in Buffalo against the Bills and then against the Jets, outscored 39-7 in those two losses to get knocked out of playoff contention. Dolphins on Monday fired offensive coordinator Mike Sherman after 2 seasons, and now it is Jeff Ireland who is let go by Miami. Dolphins CEO Tom Garfinkel says interviews for a GM will start Friday. He says the team wants someone with a proven track record of evaluating talent. We're going to talk at 8:30 with Chris Perkins from the South Florida Sun Sentinel about that. Coaching news. Josh McDaniels has pulled his name out of contention for the coaching vacancy of the Cleveland Browns. McDaniels telling ESPN he had an awesome meeting with the Browns, but it's not the right time in his mind for him to make a move. He likes working with Tom Brady, likes working with Bill Belichick. Cleveland trying to replace Rob Chudzinski, who was fired after a 4-12 season and finishing with a 7-game losing streak. Dennis Allen stays on as head coach of the Oakland Raiders. Owner Mark Davis told ESPN.com last night that Allen remains the coach, and the owner, Mark Davis, says he was amused by the drama surrounding the end-of-season meeting that occurred yesterday between himself, Davis, and Dennis Allen. According to Mark Davis, quote, "We're ready to rock and roll." At least 6 assistants have also been retained by the Oakland Raiders. And the big news today regarding the draft, Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, made public what everybody expected. He announced he will forgo his final 2 years of NCAA eligibility. He will enter the 2014 draft, closing the book on a solid college career that saw him break records, win the Heisman Trophy in 2012, helped lead Texas A&M to 20 wins, 6 losses, and 2 bowl game victories. Johnny Manziel, On Mel Kiper's big board, he is ranked as the 12th player overall. And the 22nd, Scouts Inc. has him ranked 22nd overall. Todd McShay of ESPN.com says Manziel will go 4th overall in the draft this year in his initial mock draft. He's already got an agent, Select Sports Group out of Houston, to run his affairs. The Minnesota Vikings may be in line to get him. Johnny Manziel is going to be available in the NFL draft this year. He made that announcement today. Commissioner Roger Goodell was on the podium last night in New York at a speaking series at the 92nd Street YMCA. A wide-ranging interview last night. Roger Goodell talked about a variety of topics, including expansion of the playoffs. He said owners are considering adding 2 additional wildcard teams to the playoff mix, but Goodell did not offer a timeline.
That is under serious consideration. We think it's one of the great things about the NFL, besides the fact it's unscripted, but every team starts and their fans start the season with hope. You mentioned the fact that we've had for 11 straight years a team go from last to first. That's unique to professional football in the NFL. That doesn't happen in other sports. And that's because we have such a competitive league, and we want to keep that. And so the races, this past season, we have 16 games every weekend. The final weekend, we have every division, a division game. So your opponent is a division opponent. And 13 of those 16 games had playoff implications on the final day of the season. That's extraordinary, and we want to keep that. If we could increase that, and again, this is about believing in better. Can you make it better? Can you make those races even more exciting by adding 2 more teams? That's compelling, and that's what we're looking at. Would this make it even more exciting and more dramatic as we get down into that race to who's going to make it to the playoffs? And frankly, because the league is so competitive, you could come into the playoffs at 8-8 and win the Super Bowl if you're playing your best football then. And there are a number of teams that finished 8-8, we're playing pretty well, and I know other teams said, boy, I hope we don't have to play them in the playoffs. They're dangerous. You get on that roll, and you can win it. We saw it with the Giants several years ago. They got hot at the right time, and they won the Super Bowl.
Commissioner Roger Goodell speaking last night in New York about possibility of expanding the playoffs, 2 additional teams, 1 in each conference. I don't know how I feel about that. You may have some thoughts on that, too. You don't want to water down the playoffs. You don't want to water down the regular season, actually, in the fight to get a playoff spot. However, it's certainly for playoff-starved areas like this, it certainly would be an additional carrot to shoot for, and it's not that much of an expansion, really. I mean, you'd wind up with 14 out of 32 teams, still less than half of the NFL teams making the playoffs if you add 2. Obviously, the format would be the top seeds, not the top 2 seeds, but the top number 1 seed in each conference would get a bye, and so you'd have, 3 teams, playing 3 teams, 2 versus 7, obviously 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5 in each conference. There'd be 6 wild card playoff games instead of the current 4. That may mean that some of the wild card games would have to be played, 3 a day, Saturday and Sunday, or maybe extended into Monday. Certainly there's room to play one on Sunday night. So it seems like there's room. There's certainly demand for it. The fans, it seems, have an insatiable appetite for NFL football on TV. But it would water down the regular season and the playoff pool as well. I'd be open to considering that. Maybe that's a topic we should discuss. One thing that is not under consideration, really, according to Roger Goodell, speaking last night in New York, he said, the idea of reseeding the playoff teams during the course of the playoffs is something that is really not up for discussion.
I don't think there is momentum for that. I would probably disagree. I mean, there may be momentum in the media, and that happens when you see, San Francisco going to Green Bay. But one of the premises we start with every season is that your first objective is to win the division. And when you win the division, you should have a home game. And we've discussed this for decades in the NFL. And we believe that that's the right priority. And when you do, you should have that home game. I don't see the owners pushing for a big change on that. And that's ultimately where it has to come from. So I know that's been discussed in the media, but I don't see that happening.
And on that topic, I do agree with the commissioner. I know it looks unfair on the face of it when the Niners have to go to Green Bay and play a playoff game there, but Packers won their division. There's got to be a premium for winning in your division, and I think that one makes sense. The expansion of the playoffs, I'm open to it. I see the benefit of it. Wild card weekend is pretty fun already. I think it'd be probably even more fun with a couple of more games each wild card weekend. And oh, by the way, as far as watering down the the chase for a playoff spot. It certainly would make the chase for the number one seed to get the bye even more compelling. I mean, it might make Week 17 games a little bit more interesting. I'm open to that. All right, we're going to take a break here in a second, and we want to get you involved as well. Again, if you got thoughts on newcomer of the year, rookie of the year for the Buffalo Bills, we'll take your phone calls at 803-0550 or toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. A tweet from Patrick Brown who says, rookie of the year, guy I didn't think of, Flash Goodwin. Maybe. Big plays, spectacular plays. Goodwin, maybe. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. When we return, we're going to talk with Mark Gaughan, who covers the Bills for the Buffalo News. He'll be live on the line with us, and we'll talk about the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the winnowing down of the finalists to 15 tomorrow, coming up tomorrow night. We'll talk with Mark Gaughan about that. This is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. For this Wednesday night, we are live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
John Murphy Show live from One Bills Drive tonight. This Wednesday night. Hope you've survived the storm and ready to talk some Bills football with us. We're ready to talk with a guy who knows a lot about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is the Bills beat writer for the Buffalo News. He represents the Buffalo Bills and Buffalo to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the electors, who will meet the day before the Super Bowl. Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock on the NFL Network, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the Final 15, the cut down to 15 finalists will take place live on NFL Network. We decided tonight's a good night to talk about it with Mark Gaughan. Mark, thank you very much. Happy New Year. Hope you survived the storm okay this past few days.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on. I just came in from shoveling, so it's better. Something better to do.
Yeah, I did a little about that earlier today, as a matter of fact. Well, I guess the focus, once again, Mark, is going to be on Andre Reed of the Buffalo Bills, at least from the Buffalo perspective. And you've been there as a presenter for Andre over the years. This is the ninth time he's been a semifinalist, right?
Right. He's been a finalist seven. He's been a finalist seven times.
Seven times, okay.
As a finalist.
And that's what they're cutting down to tomorrow. The finalists cut down tomorrow, right? And he's done that seven times. Is there any doubt in your mind, Mark Gaughan, that Andre Reed will make the cut to 15? Oh, I think we lost him. Sounds like we lost Mark Gaughan. We're going to have to reconnect with Mark Gaughan as he dials in right now. Going to try to reconnect with Mark Gaughan. Maybe he's still shoveling. Maybe he still has to shovel. Mark Gaughan from the Buffalo News joining us. We talk about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If you have thoughts on Andre Reed's candidacy for the Hall, phone lines are open, by the way, 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, and you can always reach us and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. We are reconnected now, I believe, with Mark Gaughan of the Buffalo News. No, we're going to try again. Now we are. Hi, Mark, you there?
Okay, sorry about that.
No problem.
So anyway, we were saying, yes, this should be the eighth time for him along the 15 finalists, and a maximum of five out of those 15 modern finalists can get in.
Is there any doubt, is there much doubt in your mind that Andre will make it to the realm of the finalists? He'll be one of the 15 tomorrow.
No, I don't. I've got no indication. Yeah, I don't have any doubt.
Hey, Mark, take us a little bit behind the scenes. As you know, we know what goes on the day before the Super Bowl, but You've been there now several years as the Buffalo elector. What goes on during the course of the year? Do you and your fellow electors, when you meet each other in a press box, do you talk about various candidacies? I mean, does Andre Reed's name come up when you're in different cities?
Yeah, there is some discussion, you know, when you see other selectors during the course of the year in press boxes. There's not, contrary to what people might expect, there is not a lot of lobbying that goes on before, during the course of the year, at least before the final 15 are announced. You know, not a lot of, you know, phone campaigns, very few, as a matter of fact. I mean, you know, I don't get a ton of emails, you know, a handful, you know, of emails they send out on behalf of a candidate or another. So there isn't a whole lot of lobbying that goes on during the course of the year. But yeah, in the press boxes, you know, I'll, you know, shoot the breeze with other selectors and, you know, get a feel for what they think.
What's the protocol then? Is it they want you to reserve your arguments and your judgments for that particular meeting room the day before the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, there's no, like, nothing put out by the Hall of Fame that says don't lobby. But, I mean, if you have a fairly strong candidate, there isn't generally there's not a lot of lobbying that's needed. The only thing the Hall of Fame says is keep an open, you know, they ask, they hope that you would keep an open mind until the vote. So that's why you don't see a lot of, or anybody who has a vote writing, well, here's the guys I'm voting for, you know.
You must feel, and you've made the argument for Andre Reed several times in the past, you must feel that you have a pretty strong candidate there, the fact that he continues to make it to the finalists.
There's no question. I mean, he is a very strong candidate. He's viewed as a strong candidate, or he wouldn't keep making it. And not only has he, you know, made it seven times to the final 15, but he's made the final 10 for the last 5 years. And he actually made the final 10 ahead of Chris Carter 3 years ago and 2 years ago. And then last year, both he and Chris Carter made the final 10, and then Carter got in. The way it works, as you probably know, is that during the meeting, the final 15 are whittled down to 10, then 5, and then you vote up and down on those 5.
Hey, Mark, for years there was talk of the logjam with the three receivers, Andre Reed, Tim Brown, and Chris Carter, kind of canceling each other out. What happened last year to put Chris Carter over the top?
I think what happened was voters looked at it and decided that Chris Carter had 135 touchdowns and Andre had 88 touchdowns, and that was the deciding factor.
Pretty simple. So now Chris Carter is gone, the logjam seemingly broken. Is that the way you look at it? Is it somehow?
I hope so, although it's not simple. I mean, I'm done sort of predicting what might happen because it's taken so long. But Tim Brown is still there, and, you know, it would seem like a good chance that he would be one of the 15 finalists as well. He's never made the final 10. Andre, like I said, has made the final 10 for the last 5 years. Marvin Harrison is up for the first time this year. So how does that impact the dynamics of the vote? That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's what happens, isn't it? I mean, just looking at from a numbers standpoint, you know, if you compare Andre Reed to Tim Brown, Tim Brown has 143 more catches, 13 more touchdowns, and Marvin Harrison, 151 more catches and 41 more touchdowns. But it's about more than just the numbers, right? And Harrison and Reed in particular played in different eras, right?
Right, and that's, and that is a point that I can assure you that I make at length. And, you know, and that is an issue that the selectors have embraced, that it's more about more than the numbers. For instance, you know, when Michael Irvin got in, you know, his numbers, total numbers, are much lower than Andre's and Tim Brown's and all those guys. But, you know, what did Michael Irvin mean to his team, and what did he mean to Super Bowls, and how did he play in the biggest games, on the biggest stages? Well, all of those arguments can be made in Andre's favor as well. And of course, Dallas had Emmitt Smith they wanted to give the ball to. Likewise, Buffalo had Thurman Thomas. And, you know, and that's another point that, I make, or that anybody in my position would make, is that, you know, the Bills had a balanced offense. Even though they were the K-gun, they really were not an aerial circus, like Peyton Manning's Colts or the Rams or really any teams in the current era. I mean, in Andre's six most prime years, the Bills averaged, I believe the number is 479 pass attempts per year over Andre's six best years. 479 pass attempts would have been 29th in the league this year.
Yeah, not much at all. What do you think, Mark, is the strongest argument that you can make to get Andre Reed in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I think that Andre was what a Hall of Famer should be all about. He wasn't just, he has the numbers, but he wasn't just about the numbers. He was a team player. He produced in the biggest moments for his team. He was, you know, a quintessential tough receiver, you know, who did the dirty work. And he was, it was about impact, not just about the numbers with Andre. How much he meant to the Bills offense and how much he meant at the, in the biggest games and at the most important times. And you can, you know, I go over his playoff numbers. I'll just say that three of the first Bills, first four Super Bowls, they probably don't get there without great games by Andre.
Yeah.
In the AFC playoffs. He epitomizes what larger-than-life Hall of Famer should be all about.
Do you find yourself, Mark, and you've done it on Andre's behalf so many times now, do you find yourself sometimes straining to freshen up the argument or find some new angle as you approach essentially the same group of selectors?
Yes.
Yeah.
Short answer is yes. I mean, I've looked at it every way. The cold weather. He played 67 of 242 games in 39 degrees or colder. That's the most of any Hall of Fame receiver. You know, I don't know. What do you want me to tell you?
That's a great stat. Obviously, that's a great stat. Is that a new one for this year?
It was a new one for last year.
Oh, well, you got to do better than that this year. Mark, is there anybody else who you anticipate being in the 15 finalists tomorrow night that is going to be almost a slam dunk this year?
You know, it's tough to predict. I think that there's four, you know, probably there's likely to be four first-time eligible guys. Marvin Harrison, Walter Jones, or at least three, and Derek Brooks. Walter Jones, I think, probably is the closest thing to a slam dunk. I don't know if anybody is a – nobody's a slam dunk like, you know, Joe Montana, Bruce Smith, Dan Marino, but Walter Jones is probably one of the six or seven best tackles of all time. You know, he was an all-first-team, all-decade player. You know, he's a pretty strong candidate, so he's one of them.
Mark, thank you very much for doing this with us tonight. We appreciate it. Always enjoy your work in the Buffalo News and really admire the work you've done on behalf of these Bills players for the Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors. Thanks a lot for being on the air with us.
Okay, Murph. Thank you. Bye.
Mark Gaughan, the Bills beat writer for the Buffalo News, the Buffalo selector for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Tomorrow, the cut down to 15 finalists will take place. It'll be live on NFL Network, a one-hour special tomorrow night at 9 p.m. The Pro Football Hall of Fame, the final 15. We'll find out. We anticipate Andre Reed will be in that list of finalists coming up tomorrow night, to be announced tomorrow night. All right, we got more to come here. Your thoughts on Andre Reed, his Hall of Fame chances. We're open for that. Your thoughts on the Bills' Rookie of the Year, the Newcomer of the Year. You can check out Chris Brown's thoughts on that at BuffaloBills.com. Phone lines open when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Mark Gaughan of Buffalo News for joining us and talking about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And tomorrow night, 9 o'clock on the NFL Network, the cut to 15. The finalists will be announced for the Pro Football Hall of Fame as they cut down to 15. Andre Reed, the focus of attention around the Bills, has been for a long time now. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. I anticipate Andre is going to be there on the the cut to the 15 tomorrow, as does Mark Gaughan. But I'm not going to say Mark is frustrated, but it was interesting when I asked, do you have to freshen up your argument every year? He said, yes. Yes, I do. Because think about it. The same group. He can't go in there every year and say, here's what I told you last year about Andre Reed. He has to, I would think, and he admitted it, he has to almost feel like he's got to reinvent arguments for Andre Reed. There's a lot to argue in favor of Andre Reed. Certainly he has Hall of Fame credentials, but for whatever reason, he is not in yet, and maybe this is the year. Coming up after the top of the hour, we're going to talk to a Hall of Famer, Thurman Thomas, who joins us every Wednesday night. He'll be with us to talk about Andre's chances and talk about the end of the Bills season. That's coming up when we return. It is the John Murphy Show. We're doing live radio again tonight. It seems like it's been forever. Been 9 days. Happy to be here, though. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. One more hour to go. Live from Bills, One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like that kind of party, baby.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Let's go sometime.
There you go. Hold hands. Let's go. Check it out.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands. This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're here until 9 o'clock tonight, a couple of hours of live radio tonight. And we have the phone lines open for you if you'd like to participate, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, the number to call. Your thoughts on anything regarding the Buffalo Bills. Joining us on the line now is, gentlemen, we had a lot of talk about the Hall of Fame a minute ago with Mark Gaughan of the Buffalo News. And on the line with us now is a man who is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and has been for the last 6 years. Hall of Famer, Thurman Thomas on the line with us. Thurman, Happy New Year. How you doing?
Doing great, John. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks very much for coming on. We want to invite our listeners, if you have comments, questions for Thurman Thomas, he's with us the next few minutes, 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Thurman, over the new year, you spent part of the weekend at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas to watch your Cowboys, Oklahoma State, go up against Missouri. Tell me about the weekend you had down in Dallas.
It was a pretty good weekend, obviously, to go down and see some of your former teammates that you played with at Oklahoma State, but also get a chance to see Mike Gundy and a couple of the alumni from Oklahoma State. But I'm just waiting on a text from Ed Kilgore, because you know he went to the University of Missouri, for him to send me a text and say go Tigers or something. But great to be down in Dallas to see my Oklahoma State Cowboys play in a bowl game.
How was it down there? That's a good college football town, isn't it? Even though, you know, SMU has been down for years, but you're really in the heart of college football country down there in Dallas, aren't you?
Yeah, you really are, and you get to see the excitement. I mean, there were people that weren't even from Missouri or Oklahoma State that weren't even alumni that were still able to go down and enjoy a good college football game. And you know, from what I hear, the AT&T Cotton Bowl did an excellent job. Obviously, you're in Jerry Jones Stadium, and anytime his stadium is open, you're definitely going to have some excitement. It's definitely going to be some fun, and so it was a great experience. Just my Cowboys didn't pull it through.
Yeah, and from what I understand, now what are you, 6 or 7 weeks away from a return visit to Texas when you go in the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, I am, and got the a letter in the mail today, yesterday, to see how excited they are for myself and a bunch of other athletes going in, and it's going to be all the way leading up to the Super Bowl, and after the Super Bowl, it's going to be a pretty exciting time for myself and my family.
Live on the line with Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas. And if you'd like to join us, lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Thurman, we spent some time the last hour talking with Mark Gaughan of the Buffalo News. He's the presenter for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, talking about Andre Reed's chances of going into the Hall of Fame this year. Do you have any thoughts on that as a Hall of Famer? You got one of those yellow jackets hanging up in the closet?
Well, you know, obviously, Andre was a big part of Buffalo Bills family here, and really a guy who I admired weekend, year in and year out. You know, always came into training camp in tremendous shape, and you know, he's been a finalist now for the last couple of years. I know there was kind of a bunch up with him and Chris Carter and Tim Brown. And I talked to Chris Carter after he got inducted last year, and he said, you know, my job right now is to get Andre Reed in. And I said, but what about Tim Brown? You know, because you guys are always, he said, no, Andre is the next guy that should go in. And so hopefully, you know, this will be a time where he will get in. I know myself and Tim and Bruce, you know, we're all, I think we're all going to be in New York at the same time. So I would definitely, you know, make my way toward Andre, whether he gets in or not. But I think he will get in. I think this is the year that he will finally make it into the class of 2014 and get into the Hall of Fame. So either way, you know, I'll be there to support Andre Reed, one of the best wide receivers to ever play the game, especially going over the middle. And how can we not remember the three touchdown games that he had against the Houston Oilers in the greatest comeback we were talking about last week.
Hey, Andre, you know, Thurman, this is his ninth year as a semifinalist. Actually, I think it'll be his 10th, assuming he becomes a semifinalist tomorrow. You didn't have to wait that long. A couple of years before you got in. It's got to be difficult, even though in the couple of years that you waited, it's got to be tough knowing that you're up for consideration, but you don't get the call that Saturday.
Yeah, you know what? It is a tough situation. And, you know, I went in on my second try, and but, you know, I've talked to people, I mean, like, guys that went in that had to wait a long time, Lynn Swan and John Stallworth and Art Mark, and you see I'm naming wide receiver guys too. And so I can remember what Deacon Jones told me. You know, it's not whether you get in your first time or your second time. It's when you get in that matters. And so I think, you know, it has been a long time for a lot of different players. So, I mean, there are only 200 and, you know, it's only 280 professional football players in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And so I think as years go by, yes, to anticipate this may be your year, but it is kind of a learning experience, I guess, on the good side and the bad side of it.
I wondered, Thurman, do you think Hall of Famers like yourself should get a vote for the Hall of Fame?
Well, you know what, I think, John, I think it all depends on what era you played in. You know, obviously playing in been in the era where I played, you know, against, you know, I saw Chris Carter and Tim Brown and Andre Reed play. You know, obviously, if I had a vote then, you know, those would be the guys that, you know, that I would probably choose from. But, you know, I can't go back to the 1960s and really 70s and see all the film of who I think should be in. So I can only give my opinion of, you know, the guys that I played with and against and a little bit before I got in the league. So, and, you know, I think as a football player, you want to maybe have an influence some way, somehow. But, I mean, because how many of the voters really saw that are on the West Coast saw Andre Reed play?
Right.
I mean, they don't really. I mean, it's hard. It's a hard process to go through. And I think that's what has really held Andre back because, you know, on the other side, on the West Coast, in Seattle and those places, they never really got to see Andre play a lot because all the games were played on this side of the country.
Yep. We're live on the line with Thurman Thomas, the Hall of Famer. We're talking about Andre Reed's Hall of Fame chances. And if you'd like to join the conversation with Thurman, the phone lines are open, 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Here's a call from Kenny in Lackawanna. Kenny, you're on the air with Thurman. Kenny, are you there?
Yeah. I have a question about Andre Reed and his yards after catches and the number of fumbles and how he stacks up against people that may be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, good question. I don't have those numbers at my fingertips, but certainly yards after catch, Thurman, I never really heard much discussion at all about yards after catch until people watched the way Andre Reed played. Do you agree?
I totally agree. And, I mean, if you think about guys that really had yards after catch, I mean, how many guys really come to mind? It's Jerry Rice and Andre Reed. I mean, those are the two guys that come to mind when you talk about yards after the catch. You know, Chris Carter played on the outside a lot. Tim Brown played mostly on the outside. You got guys like Marvin Harrison coming up. So Andre did a lot of his damage going across the middle. I mean, that was part of the take on whether, you know, I would be the short receiver going 6 yards or Andre would be the 12, or we would switch it sometimes. But, you know, yeah, a majority of his catches were caught over the middle. I guarantee you, if you go back and look at all the catches from when, you know, I guess we probably started in, I guess in 88 or 89 with the K-Gun, most of his catches were over the middle, in between the hash marks. And, He was great with catching a short pass and turning it to a long touchdown run or a long gain. And the only other guy that I can ever think of that did that was Jerry Rice.
Yeah. You know, Mark Gunn made a good point also, Thurman, that you could appreciate probably more than anybody. Your era, your Super Bowl era with the Buffalo Bills, the Bills, even though they had the reputation as this wide-open K-gun offense, even with the K-gun, you were still a running offense. This wasn't a pass-happy offense with Andre racking up big numbers, was it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, we, you know, one of the things that Marv always talked about was having a balanced offense, and we ran the ball effectively throughout those 4 years in the Super Bowl, and I think that was one of the reasons why we got to that point to the Super Bowl, because we were able to do things in the bad weather and in the good weather. We were able to run the football and pass the football, and Andre was a big part of that. He was a guy who, you know, when it got late in the game, we always counted on Andre to get first down or get a long touchdown or something. And he was a big part of the K-Gun. And whether he was, like, in the slot or on the outside, without Andre Reed, we don't make the fourth ball.
We're on the line with Thurman Thomas, the Bills Hall of Famer. The number to call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Thurman, we'd like to check in with you about this year's Bills, obviously. You're a close observer of the team. And my colleague Chris Brown at BuffaloBills.com had a number of team awards for the 2013 Bills. I'd like to get your take on a couple of these. And some of them are obvious, but let me just run down. Chris, Rookie of the Year, and the obvious ones would be E.J. Manuel, Robert Woods, Nickell Robey, and Kiko Alonso. Who would be your Bills Rookie of the Year this past year?
Well, I think it would be Kiko. I think, you know, he probably played the most snaps out of anybody. Not only just on the Buffalo Bills defense, but I think at that position throughout the league. So I would definitely think that Kiko deserves to be the Buffalo Bills Rookie of the Year. Like I say, playing in every single game and making big plays. And I mean, I think it was right off the bat where I can't really remember, but he got his first interception against Carolina, I think it was, right?
Yep, I think you're right. Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, with that, you know, making an impact in that football game, and I think being tied for the lead with the team with four interceptions, so. Obviously, you know, he was a playmaker, had a lot of tackles. I definitely think Kiko is probably the Bills' Rookie of the Year this year.
Here's an interesting category, I thought, Thurman. Newcomer of the Year. Guys, you know, maybe not rookies, but there are some guys here who made a difference. Jerry Hughes with his pass rush ability. Manny Lawson did a solid job setting the edge defensively. I thought Alan Branch had a good season for the Bills in the interior of the defensive line. The kicker, Dan Carpenter, had a good year. Who would be your Bills newcomer of the year?
I think, you know that's a tough one, because you look at Dan Carpenter. I mean, when he first got here, the first field goal that he missed, I think, was 50-some yards. And after that, you know, continued to make 50-yarders and just, you know, went on a streak of making consecutive field goals and extra points. But I think if I had to put it on one guy, I think Nickell Robey would be that guy. I think he made a lot of plays in the slot formation when we were actually looking for somebody in the slot formation. After Ron Brooks went down, they didn't know whether to put, you know, Justin Rogers in there or maybe move Leotis McKelvin, you know, to that spot. But I think he came up and, you know, being an undersized guy, but coming from a big-time program like USC, you knew, obviously, you know, I saw it in practice and I saw it in training camp where he did make a lot of plays. And he didn't make them the first couple of games throughout the season, but he was very, very close. I think what really propelled him was, I think, the interception return for a touchdown against Miami. And ever since that point in time, he kept getting better and better. So he would definitely be my newcomer of the year.
All right, here's one. Chris Brown had the unsung hero of the year. He named Scott Chandler, the tight end who led the team in receptions and receiving yards. Honorable mention to Cordy Glenn, who had a really good year at left tackle. I would also throw the name of Aaron Williams, the kind of versatile safety, in there. But who would be your unsung hero of the 2013 Bills, Thurman?
You know what? That's a tough one to call, because I'm really good friends with Aaron Williams. Now, I've been in his corner ever since he's got here to the Buffalo Bills. But I think when you look at the overall picture, when you look at, you know, okay, what position is going to be solidified for the next 7, 8, 9, 10 years, and it very well could be Aaron Williams' position at the strong safety. But I think you look at Cordy Glenn, and what he's done. He's went up against some good pass rushers this year, and quietly has done a really, really great job this year. When, you know, we've always talked about, you know, every time we've always talked about the offensive line, we've always talked about the offensive guard, maybe the right tackle, and never really mentioned too much about, you know, Courtney Glenn or struggling against some type of defensive end or some type of linebacker. So I would definitely say, in my opinion, it would be Courtney Glenn.
All right, here's one for you, and maybe this is where Aaron Williams fits in. Most improved player in the 2013 season for the Buffalo Bills. Chris Brown put Leotis McKelvin up as his most improved player. Hard to argue with that. Again, I would submit Aaron Williams in that category. And also Marcell Dareus, I think, deserves some consideration. Who'd be your most improved player, Thurman?
I would definitely. Now, that category, I would pick Aaron Williams. I think with him performing the way he did at the strong safety position. But then all of a sudden, I think we kind of forget, you know, he played a couple of games at the corner position too. And I think him being at the corner the past couple of years really helped him develop into a better cover guy. But I think he's definitely the guy that I would pick. And I know Leotis is right there. But if you really want to give it to one guy, you definitely have to throw Donnie Henderson in there. I think Donnie's done a great job. I know he's not a player, but he's talking about a coach really getting the most out of his players. I think he's really done a tremendous job with Leotis and Aaron Williams as far as, you know, being able to make a play, being in the right position, turning your head around to look for the football. And that's something that we didn't see from those guys the past couple of years, and we saw that this year. So definitely Aaron Williams, but I think Donnie Henderson has a lot to do with it.
Let me walk you through a couple of more of these, Thurman, because I like your perspective on these Bills players. We're on the line, by the way, with Thurman Thomas, the Bills Hall of Famer, talking about the Buffalo Bills of 2013 and Chris Brown's list of the Buffalo Bills 2013 Team Awards. It's up right now at BuffaloBills.com. Defensive Most Valuable Player. Chris Brown makes Kiko Alonso his defensive MVP. Honorable mention to Kyle Williams. I have no quarrel with either one of those selections. What do you think, Thurman?
No, I don't have any problem with either one of those. Obviously, the defense, I think, was much improved this year. I would even throw, you know, Jarius Byrd in there just from the time. You know, I mean, he only played, 10, 11 games. And for him to make the Pro Bowl and second team All-Pro, I think that says a lot about him. So, but really look at it, would definitely be a defensive player.
And lastly, Chris Brown had as his offensive MVP the same player as his overall most valuable player, and I think I know that you're going to agree with that. Who would you vote for offensive MVP and team MVP, Thurman?
That's no doubt 22, Fred Jackson.
Yeah.
Is that who Chris Brown played?
Yeah, that's what he had. Yeah, Chris, even Chris couldn't screw that one up.
Yeah, I think when you look at the overall body, the overall pitcher, the leader of this football team, has to be Fred Jackson. The MVP of this football team has to be Fred Jackson. And I tell you what, I'm just glad that he's on our side. I know Fred has, you know, really, you know, put in a lot of work this year, injured, but you know what, one tough guy. And I think, you know, when you see him play the way that he played this year, often hurt with rib injuries, with a knee injury, wearing a brace, when this was supposedly to be CJ Spiller's year, Fred came out, did an excellent job of really pounding it in there and getting the tough yards and just being a physical football player. And, at his age, you know what, he doesn't have to practice a lot, but he practices every single day. He does all the right things. So, you know, I think that was a hand-down, no-brainer there, yeah. Fred Jackson.
You know, here's the thing about Fred Jackson, Thurman. Just when you think you've seen everything he has, and he's done a lot over the last few years, he comes into this year with a new coaching staff, remakes himself physically into a bigger back, kind of alters his running style a little bit, is a team captain. Just when you think you've seen everything that guy from Little Coke College has to offer, he surprised me again this year with how good he was. He surprises me every year.
You know, I think he surprised a lot of people. And, I'm glad that he's on the football team on the Buffalo Bills. I guess we just should put a lot more pressure on him. What is Freddie Jackson going to do for us in 2014? If he can come anywhere close to doing what he did this year, I think and I hope and I pray that next year will be the year that the Bills get into the playoffs. Because if you want to see one guy maybe perform in the playoffs, it's definitely Fred Jackson. And all these players should jump on his back and follow his lead, because he has definitely been the heart and soul of the Buffalo Bills team for a long period of time.
Chris Brown's list, the Buffalo Bills 2013 Team Awards, is up right now at buffalobills.com. We're talking just another minute or two with Thurman Thomas, the Bills Hall of Famer. Thurman, an anniversary today, 14 years ago today. Do you know where you were, what went on 14 years ago today?
Yeah, and I was turning around going into the locker room because I couldn't believe what had happened on the field with the Music City Miracle. I mean, it was, you know, I got into the locker room, and you know, some of the administrative people were coming in, and you know, and they were saying it was a forward pass or whatever, and I kept thinking to myself, those refs don't have a chance if they reverse this call right now.
Yeah.
They don't have a chance to get out of the stadium right now. So, yes, I remember it. I think I was in the car today, and I think I heard it on the other station, WBN.
Really?
WBN. So, you know, it's playoff time, so you're going to hear that and you're going to see that. But, yeah, the anniversary of it, it still hurts.
Sure does. It was your last game in a Bills uniform. Did you know at the time that could be the case that day?
No, you know what? At that time, I didn't know. I you know what? I was really looking forward to playing whoever we were going to play the next week.
Yeah.
I know the game wasn't over, but you figure, you know, hey, look, we got Bruce DeHaven. You know, we got guys that can go down and make some plays. You just never thought that was going to happen at that time and at that moment. So, nothing we can do about it. Just keep living it on, and I'm sure we will hear about it again.
Yep, next year probably. Thurman, thank you very much for being on the air with us tonight. Sorry to bring up that bad memory, but those of us who have been around the team for a long time, I mean, that's a significant day. That was a red-letter day, a dark day, really, in the history of the franchise.
Yeah, it really was, and, you know, something that we got to go through. But also, John, I'd also like to wish Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, and a good friend of mine, Frank Thomas, for getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame. So I will be down there this year. Frank's been a good friend of mine for a number of years, and excited to see him going to the Major League Hall of Fame.
Yeah, how'd you get to know Frank Thomas?
I just met him at a couple of autograph shows, and, you know, some of the guys that I deal with, we deal with the same people. So I've seen him about five or six times at some shows over the course of the years, and just always a nice, genuine guy to talk to.
Could you wear your yellow Hall of Fame jacket to Cooperstown that day? Do you think that would be bad form? What do you think?
No, I would never do that.
What? You're a Hall of Famer, and that's a Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but that's their moment. I don't want to take away from them going into the Hall of Fame. So.
All right, that's pretty cool. Thurman, thank you. As usual, we love talking to you. We'll talk again. Thanks very much.
All right.
Thurman Thomas, Buffalo Bills Hall of Famer, Wall of Famer. I didn't know that. I didn't know he had that connection with Frank Thomas. That's pretty cool. You'd probably get away with wearing the yellow jacket around Cooperstown, I would think, that day, and nobody would think anything less of him. Why not? Hall of Fame. I mean, wear it. I would wear it, Thurman. If I were him, I would wear it. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. What is going on with the Dolphins? They're looking for a general manager. They're looking for an offensive coordinator as well. When we return, we're going to talk about that with Chris Perkins, who covers the team for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, the Miami Dolphins, in a state of turmoil of sorts. We got more to come. We also want to hear from you, your thoughts on the Buffalo Bills. Who was their rookie of the year this year? Who was their newcomer of the year? Phone lines will be open. 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You may want to dial us up now and we'll get you on the air to talk about that. More to come. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Live two-hour show, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO tonight. We'll be on the air live again Friday. Podcast tomorrow because of Sabres hockey. Thanks for tuning in tonight. We're live from One Bills Drive. Keeping an eye on everything going on around the NFL, especially the goings-on down south in Miami, where the Dolphins have had a tumultuous week and a half or so since their season ended. They ended it with a couple of losses to the Bills back on December 22nd and then the finale against the Jets. And they parted ways yesterday with general manager Jeff Ireland after 6 years. On the line with us now, a gentleman who covers the Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, Chris Perkins, is on with us. Chris, thank you very much for being on with us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thanks. You know what? I'm afraid the Dolphins are going to ruin my January like they ruined my November, which was the incognito and Martin month. So, yeah, I'm hoping that everything works out. But, yeah, we're in the midst of a search for a GM and an offensive coordinator. So, yeah,
it'll keep you busy. That's for sure. The announcement last night, Chris, said that that Jeff Ireland and the Dolphins mutually agreed to part ways. You buying that?
No. I think that he was going to get fired, and this was just kind of the way to cushion the blow here.
What went wrong? I mean, we read all of this intrigue about Joe Philbin aligning himself with one of the front office people. Is there that kind of intrigue behind the scenes with the Dolphins these days?
Well, yeah, and you know what? The thing is that it got down to, you know, this is the end of it right here. And I'm speaking in Steve Ross's voice, that this is the end of it right here, that, you know, from Jeff Ireland's standpoint, you know, he's going to be telling the owner, Steve Ross, that this is the fault of the coaches, that I supplied them with enough talent, but they just didn't take advantage of it. And from the coach's standpoint, they're going to be saying Jeff Ireland didn't give us the necessary talent to win. And so that's kind of what you had going on between Ireland and Philbin. And, you know, and Philbin is the one who won out. You know, Jeff Ireland was offered a chance to come back in a reduced role, not as the, you know, the final decision maker, et cetera. He wouldn't have been a strong GM, in other words. He'd have been a weak GM, and he declined that. And so that was the mutually parted ways. But I think Steve Ross was just sick of mediocrity, but sick of finishing with a losing record, really.
Hey, Chris, as long as I've followed the league and been around the league, I'm surprised at how quickly things change. Just less than 3 weeks ago, when the Dolphins are getting set to come up here to Buffalo to play the Bills and in really good shape for a playoff spot, and people are talking about Jeff Ireland, what a great job he has done. That was less than 3 weeks ago. Now he's gone. Did those two losses to the Bills and Jets really turn it that quickly against him?
Yeah, they did, because, look, if this team would have made the playoffs, it's hard to get rid of either Philbin or Ireland or even Mike Sherman, the offensive coordinator. But, you know, when you lose the back-to-back games to Buffalo and to the Jets, and you have a playoff berth on the line, that's just kind of the final straw. I will say that I picked the Dolphins to finish 8-8 at the start of the season, and I think that they met expectations really throughout the season. You know, even though they did have the Martin and Incognito scandal, I don't know of anybody who picked the Dolphins to win 10 games. Very few people picked them to win 9. Most predictions were 8-8 or 7-9. They finished 8-8. It was a disappointing way to finish, obviously, losing those last two back-to-back. But I really do think that they kind of met expectations, judging from the preseason and judging from the amount of talent they had on the roster.
Chris, you've mentioned the Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito situation a couple of times now. How much of a factor was that in the demise of general manager Jeff Ireland with the Dolphins?
I don't think it was much. You know, I think that's just a separate issue. That doesn't get blamed. You know, that's not the reason that Mike Sherman was fired. That's not the reason the offensive line allowed 58 sacks. It's not the reason that Jeff Ireland was fired. It happened, and I believe that it was a distraction, but I don't think it cost them a loss because it was a distraction, and I don't think that it gave them any victories because it caused them to you know, rally together and pull together. I just kind of view it as something that happened. It didn't cause them any wins or losses, though.
And just on that tangent for a moment, Chris, what are we looking at timetable-wise for an ultimate league resolution of that? They're going to wait till after the Super Bowl, would you think?
I don't know. You know, I thought that they would want to have something announced before the playoffs. I was thinking, you know, week 16 or week 17. Obviously, that didn't happen, so I really don't know. I'm just operating on the theory that it could happen any day.
Yeah.
That they could announce the results of it any day. But, you know, applying logic to it, I don't know, because I would have thought that that you wanted this out of the way for the playoffs. My best guess would be after the Super Bowl, but who knows?
We're live on the line with Chris Perkins. He covers the Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. The Dolphins in the market for a general manager after the release of Jeff Ireland last night. How close is Ireland tied to Ryan Tannehill, and was that a factor in the Dolphins wanting to part ways with Jeff Ireland?
Actually, that was the one thing that would have saved Jeff Ireland, is that he finally found the quarterback, or so it appears. The misses in the draft, the misses in free agency, the misses in trades, that could have been wiped out, because you could have said, well, at least he found the quarterback. But I think that everything else was just so bad and so disappointing. You know, especially his history with second and third round picks in the draft, that, the Tannehill probably couldn't have really saved his job. I think only making the playoffs is the thing that could have saved his job, and no, Tannehill did not hurt his job at all.
Chris, Jeff Ireland came in with Bill Parcells. Was he a creature of Parcells? Did he try to manage like Parcells or run the place like Parcells did?
No, I think, he took some of Parcells' ideas, but really Jeff Ireland kind of did things his own way. And, I don't know that Jeff Ireland really had any, major flaws aside from the record. He did find the quarterback, and his draft history wasn't that great, and yes, the Martin Incognito and everything like that. Well, I'll say the record in this too. Steve Ross almost gave this guy a blank check over the past two seasons. You look at everything that the Dolphins have done in the last 2 years. They've had a new head coach, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, new quarterback. They got the number one player in free agency in Mike Wallace. They traded up to number three to draft Deion Jordan. New cornerback, two new linebackers. I mean, they have overhauled the franchise in the last 2 years. The only constant was the general manager.
Hmm. And now, of course, the Dolphins are in the market for a new general manager. And speaking of Parcells, one of the names mentioned is Parcells' son-in-law, right? Scott Pioli, the former Chiefs general manager. Is he a candidate, would you think? Somebody on the Dolphins' short list?
Well, Pioli is a guy who he has a history with Don Aponte. And Don Aponte is somebody who, she's the executive VP of football operations. She kind of won a power struggle with Jeff Ireland. And, when you talk about people who are going to be influences in the Dolphins organization, she is. She has Stephen Ross's ear. She's a confidant of Stephen Ross, and she is the Dolphins' salary capologist. But she has kind of climbed her way up from that into a very trusted voice. And so the next GM is going to have to be able to work with Don Aponte. She doesn't handle personnel matters, but she is a confidant of Steve Ross, and she is the salary capologist.
And so does that lead you to connect the dots between her and Pioli?
Well, she also has ties with Eric Mangini also. But it doesn't lead you to connect the dots, but it's something that works in their favor, because Aponte is going to have a lot of say in who gets this general manager's job, and, he's going to have to run a lot of things by her to get to Steve Ross. So people such as that, Pioli and Eric Mangini, just by knowing Don Aponte, who came from the Cleveland Browns organization, just by knowing her, they have an inside leg on this job.
And they're also trying to fill the offensive coordinator job now that Mike Sherman was let go on Monday. Kind of sounds like they're rounding up some of the usual suspects, doesn't it, Chris, with, Brian, I think, did I read Brian Schottenheimer's name? No, Shanahan. Shanahan.
Bill Lazor, the Eagles quarterback coach, was reportedly interviewed today, and then Gary Kubiak is supposedly a candidate, and obviously, Kubiak, the the former Houston Texans coach. And interestingly enough, he's a former Texas A&M quarterback, just like Ryan Tannehill. But I don't know if they know each other from that level, from, you know, any kind of alumni functions or anything like that. But those are two of the names. And there's, you know, obviously there's going to be others. I would think that the Dolphins want to have the general manager and the offensive coordinator named in the next couple of weeks. You know, the Senior Bowl in Mobile is January 25th, and that's where most of your top draftees are going to be. So I would think that they want to have the offensive coordinator and general manager in place and have an offensive philosophy that they can start start looking for players to fill those characteristics. Here's one more thing really quickly. You know, yeah. You talk about the Dolphins' offensive coordinator. They're going to have to rebuild that offensive line. They allow 58 sacks this year. They probably need two new tackles, left tackle, right tackle, and a new right guard, as well as a new running back. So, you know, getting that GM and offensive coordinator in place so you have a philosophy and a system to get players to, whether it's zone blocking or man blocking, et cetera, that's going to be something that's crucial here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, Chris, as you can imagine, the 2013 season for the Buffalo Bills was really not much to celebrate about, but any season when the Bills can sweep the Dolphins and then watch them undergo this kind of turmoil in the offseason, they'll take solace in that. You can imagine that, right?
Hey, listen, and let me tell you something. My man, Thad Lewis, look, he's a local kid. You know, he went to high school down here in a city called Miami Lakes. So he's a local kid. So, yeah, and it was a good thing to see Thad Lewis come and beat the Dolphins here and then beat the Dolphins up there. And look, my congratulations go to Buffalo, because without them, my 8-8 prediction would have been off. So congrats to Thad Lewis and Buffalo for handing them those two losses and kind of making me look a little bit smart.
I'll pass that along. Chris, thank you very much for joining us tonight. We appreciate it.
Hey, anytime.
Chris Perkins covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. There you've got to find a new general manager in Miami along with an offensive coordinator. And as Chris said, they've got to rebuild their offensive line. So there's a big offseason coming up down south for the Miami Dolphins. Got more to come. We'll take your phone calls when we return. 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Again, our thanks to Chris Perkins of the South Florida Sun Sentinel for joining us tonight talking about the Dolphins and their troubles. What's the word? I know the word. I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it schadenfreude? Anybody know what that word means? It means when you delight in the misery of others. I think there's some of that going on with Bills fans and watching the Dolphins from afar. Is that how you pronounce it? Schadenfreude? Anybody? Anybody know? I think that's how you pronounce it. It's when you relish in others' misfortunes. And when it comes to the Bills, looking at the Dolphins, I think that's applicable. If you just joined us, we talked with Chris Perkins of the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Thurman Thomas was with us earlier tonight, part of this hour, the second hour of the show. And Mark Gaughan of the Buffalo News joined us to talk about Andre Reed and his chances for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. 9 o'clock tomorrow, they will whittle down the list of 15 finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It is anticipated that Andre Reed's name will be on that list, but it's 9 o'clock live TV tomorrow on the NFL Network, so check out for that. If you missed any of these interviews, you can catch up with us on the website. You can go to buffalobills.com/John Murphy Show, and we'll have a complete replay of the show. You can always access our show. Also, download the mobile Bills app at buffalobills.com or subscribe to us on iTunes. A lot of ways to get at this show. On the website right now, by the way, a couple of things we want to point out to you. There is a video piece, Chris Brown, Bills Focus, on the captains, the Bills' three captains, Kyle Williams, Eric Wood, and Fred Jackson, and a video piece that Chris Brown did about the captains, looking forward to next year. Coming up later in the week, I'll do a Bills Focus, a video piece on E.J. Manuel's rookie campaign, so look for that. Also on the website right now is Chris Brown's Buffalo Bills 2013 Team Awards, and earlier tonight, we talked about the award for Newcomer of the Year, Rookie of the Year. Chris named Jerry Hughes as his Newcomer of the Year. He named Kiko Alonso as the Rookie of the Year. As we move along through the next week and a half, we'll continue to put this up for debate. Friday night, the next time we're on with a live radio show, we're going to talk about the Bills' most improved player this year. Chris Brown named Leotis McKelvin, but there are other candidates. I would submit that Marcel Darius belongs in the conversation, and Aaron Williams belongs in the conversation as well for most improved player. So join us Friday night for another live radio show, 7 till 8 o'clock Friday night, and we'll pick up the conversation there. If you want to see what Chris nominated for the team awards or his suggestions, you can go to BuffaloBills.com, the 2013 team awards. We've got a podcast coming up tomorrow night because there is hockey, and then we're back on the air Friday night with a one-hour show. College basketball is going to be on the air at 8 o'clock, so we'll be on the air with a live radio show coming up Friday night at 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock. And again, we're just about a week and a half away from our trip to the Senior Bowl, Mobile, Alabama. We start our coverage there on Monday, January 20th, so we're looking forward to that. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer is Mike Jafari. Our producer is the Bills Director of Broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. Podcast tomorrow, The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.